Ideas. Think tank the New Zealand Initiative has just released a report on why congestion charging works. It looks at experiences from overseas on ways that congestion charging has been successful in managing chronic road overuse and how it might be successfully implemented here. Dr. Oliver Hartwich is the Executive Director of the New Zealand Initiative, and he joins us now. Hi, Oliver.
Hi, good afternoon.
People will probably know that phrase, but can you remind us exactly what congestion charging is, how it works?
What it means is that motorists in the future would have to pay for using the roads they drive on. I mean, currently they pay for them indirectly, of course. Whenever you fill up your car, you are paying part of your fuel duty for a levy that goes into the land transport fund, but you're not paying directly for the road that you're currently using. Road user charging would change that. You would pay for exactly the road you're on at exactly the time that you're on it. And therefore, if you're driving in congested roads at peak hour, you would pay more for using the same roads than you would driving somewhere in the countryside at night where nobody actually competes for the same road.
And traditionally, this is in the central city. Is that what you're looking at, or are you looking more broadly at all roads?
You could imagine this for all roads because the technology is there now, of course, with satellite tracking. But traditionally, it was a scheme that was introduced in cities, especially larger cities. The first city to introduce such a scheme was Singapore, and that was way back in 1975. But in the last few decades, we have seen more cities adopting road user charging, cities like London, of course, with the congestion charging zone, but also Swedish cities, Gothenburg and Stockholm, also Milan, Dubai. So this scheme, this idea of road user charging is increasingly gaining traction around the world.
What is the aim when you introduce a congestion charge?
Well, the aim is exactly to do what we do in practically every other market. Whenever there's a scarce resource, you want to price it because otherwise you get it overused. This is nothing unusual. I mean, we're doing this for everything else, really, except for roads currently, because for a long time, of course, it was difficult to charge for roads because technology wasn't there. But now technology has moved on so much that it's easier to track where people are using roads, and therefore we can charge them and price them more. But the idea actually is nothing new. You can find it even in Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations, going back to 1776, and economists then in the 20th century, Arthur Pigou in the 1920s, and then James Vickery in the 1960s, have developed this idea even further. So the ideas are there, the theoretical ideas have been there for a long, long time, and economists are agreed that it's a good idea to price roads according to use. The technology has then caught up in the last few decades, and we think it's time that New Zealand does the same because we believe this is the best way to deal with our traffic jams on New Zealand's roads.
Yeah, and that might be the way of winning people over. I mean, there's a philosophical purity to your rationale for a congestion charge, but when it comes down to brass tacks, people are going to do what is in their own personal interest, right? And so what are the practical benefits of introducing a congestion charge?
Well, the practical benefits are actually dealing with traffic jams, dealing with congestion. I should say right at the outset, the idea is not to raise revenue. The idea is not for the government to have another source of tax. If that's what you're trying to do with road pricing, think again because it doesn't work. And actually, international experience shows us that whenever the revenue-raising motive gets in the foreground, it usually collapses and the public won't accept that. So the idea is really to find ways in which we can deal with a gridlock on our roads. And we just want to give people some incentive to think about their travel patterns. Is there a way, for example, in which you could car share with your neighbors and actually travel together, thereby reducing demand on roads? Or is there a way you could actually travel a little bit earlier or a little bit later to avoid peak hour traffic? Or is there a way, of course, to use public transport instead of your private car? So we just want to give people some incentive to make better use of existing roads, and the research and the international experience actually demonstrate if only a small fraction of people change their travel plans, sometimes just 5 or 10% of road users, you could get a vastly different transport experience and congestion could actually be diminished and travel speeds could go up. So we just want to make sure that we just get the most out of the existing road network.
So you're saying that at the moment there's no downside to jumping in your car whenever you like, probably at the same time as everyone else is at peak hour, and going for a ballot. But if you bring in some sort of charging, then it at least incentivizes people to think a little bit harder, and that has a pretty straight immediate effect.
That's exactly right. And it doesn't even have to be much that you're charging, because, again, international experience shows that even small amounts charged to motorists will change behavior. You look at Singapore, for example, and I think that's perhaps the world's most sophisticated road user charging scheme, and it's been going since 1975. The charges in Singapore start at 51 New Zealand cents, and they peak at $4.05. So it's hardly extortionary, the amounts that are charged of Singaporean motorists. And yet the outcomes are such that actually they have been able to deal with traffic congestion in a way that we can only imagine in New Zealand.
The money it does raise, where does it go? Does it literally go to pay for roads, or does it go just into the consolidated fund?
Well, it depends. There are different examples globally. Some countries have actually used the money to just pay it into the government's general budget. We don't think that's the best way forward. We think actually with every dollar that you raise through road user charging, you should probably take it off the fuel duty, because otherwise motorists will rightly say, well, hey, this is just another tax grab, and they will be suspicious of that, and rightly so. So we think it should be revenue neutral, because the idea, as I said before, is not to raise more money. It is just to provide an incentive to use existing roads better.
Have you looked at who might be disproportionately affected by a congestion charge? People who are on the road a lot, that might include people on lower incomes who have to travel a long distance for work in their cars. You know, any sort of unintended consequences for them?
We haven't specifically looked at that in this current study, but we did a previous report, and actually our analysis at the time suggested that people on lower incomes would actually benefit from road user charging. So we think that actually you could make a case that is actually a socially equitable thing to do. And also keep in mind, of course, that sometimes people on lower incomes drive less fuel-efficient cars, and currently they're paying a lot more on fuel duty too. So we think you can design such a scheme to actually take account of that. And in any case, if people need more support because they're on lower incomes, you could do it with direct income transfers rather than trying to do it with the transport system.
What about like a courier who's not earning much anyway, and now they've got extra expenses just to do the job?
Well, actually, talking to couriers, and I've done that over the last couple of years, they would prefer road user charging because they lose a lot more time through congestion at the moment. So they would actually prefer to pay a little bit extra in order to save time, because that would enable them to do their jobs better.
So how do you convince the people, Oliver? Is it a popular idea politically? It doesn't seem like it would be, because it sounds like you're just asking people for more cash, right?
Well, and that's precisely what we're not doing. I do not want to raise more money.
Mate, I'm convinced, but you're taking it to the people in a general election. How do you sell it?
Well, two answers to that question. First of all, there is broad political consensus that road user charging is the way forward. And actually, you can find statements from politicians of all parties, really, National and Labour and the Greens and ACT, and they will all tell you that road user charging is better than the current system, except nobody really has the guts to introduce this because they fear public backlash. But we think there is a way around this, and the way around this is to be transparent about what you're trying to achieve with it. If you're making it very clear that this is not a tax grab, you're not trying to raise extra revenue, but you're really trying to solve the traffic gridlock that we all know in New Zealand, then you have a chance to convince the public. You also have to be transparent about what you're doing. Again, this is a lesson that we learned by looking at international examples. Those countries that have actually taken the public on board and have been very transparent about what they're doing, how they're implementing it, and actually listening to communities have been very successful at implementing schemes, whereas countries that have just introduced road user charging top-down without consultation have typically failed. And in this way, what we have also seen is a typical kind of curve. So when people start talking about road user charging, politicians, people are generally moderately skeptical about it. And this skepticism actually gets worse as the closer you get to the introduction date. But then once it's introduced, what we do see is that people actually realize the benefits. They realize it's not going to cost them an arm and a leg, and it will definitely improve the transport experience. So over time, what we see is typically that road user charging schemes become popular. It just takes the initial guts for politicians to go down that path. But actually listening to Phil Twyford as the transport minister and even Chris Bishop as the national spokesperson, they're all already recognizing that this is the way forward. it would probably be a good idea to find some cross-party consensus to introduce it, to just take this element of populism out of it. Because I think in the end, if you talk to them privately, they will all tell you it's a good idea. And they've got the empirical backing on their side because the international examples are out there. They have economics on their side because the case for that has been made for decades. It's now time to finally get going on it.
Good for you. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
Dr. Oliver Hartwich, who is Executive Director at the New Zealand Initiative, who says that congestion charging works and that it's the right time for New Zealand to introduce it.